is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air and at VSiN Live. Going to take me a little bit of time to get over the betting FOMO of not betting Jackson Merrill to hit a home run. It was given out. I gave it out right here on the show. Prior to the game, we were previewing Sunday Night Baseball between the Padres and the Astros. Got a tweet at Scott's On Air. You guys can hit me up. One of our viewers, Jim, asked for a home run bet. He said, you got a home run pick tonight. I said, either Jackson Merrill or Taylor Trammell. Those are the two players that I had projected as the most likely home run hitters. Taylor Trammell was part of our same game parlay. He did get a single in his first at bat. And then Jackson Merrill homered. Plus 494, I believe it was, on Jackson Merrill. Scola tweeting at me, thank you for Merrill, sir. Scola, you're welcome. Congratulations. Cashing that bet. Jim, I hope you played that as well. So Jackson Merrill homers. The Astros have a 2-1 lead here in the top of the third inning against the Padres. Your live betting line right now up on DraftKings, Astros minus 165. We did bet them before the game at plus 105. Or the best line available was plus 107 if you shopped around. We got it at plus 103, excuse me. But the best line available was about plus 107, plus 108, depending on when you bet it. Total is now 9.5. This game closed with a total of 9. Still alive for our prop parlay, our same game parlay, which if you're just tuning in, we did have a little bit of fun, a little sprinkle with the same game parlay before the game, where we did it at 10-1 odds. I priced that on DraftKings, different books. You could have got maybe a little bit of a higher payout. But we did Astros on the money line with Christian Javier, the Astros starting pitcher, to go under 2.5 earned runs allowed. He has obviously allowed 1 earned run with that Jackson Merrill solo home run. And then we did 3 players to go over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. One of those players has already come through for us in Taylor Trammell as he got a single and then scored on Dalton Varsho's 2-run home run. So he has a hit. And he has a run scored. We've already cashed that leg. Now, the other two players we have are Jeremy Peña and Christian Walker. Both of them they got out in their first at-bats. Jeremy Peña flew out. Walker grounded out. So both of them are 0-for-1. Right now, Jeremy Peña is about to bat. So we will take a look to see if we can cash a Jeremy Peña bet here for our same game parlay. See if that'll come through for us here. So one out here in the top of the third inning. Again, the Astros lead the Padres 2-1. So let's see if we can now 2 outs, I guess, as Peña, did he get out? Lamont Wade grounded out. Jeremy Peña grounds out the shortstop. So first pitch swinging for Jeremy Peña, ground out the shortstop. Now more sweat gets, it hurts now because you think, what does he get? 4 at bats over the course of a game. He is already 0-for-2, first pitch swinging, ground out to short. So we need a little bit of a help. We need a little bit of help in the Jeremy Peña leg over the next 2 at-bats for the remainder of this game. A lot of baseball left to be played. A lot of baseball left to be played. That is, of course, your Sunday night game in progress right now. Finals from earlier today in Major League Baseball was the Nationals 7-1 over the Cincinnati Reds. The A's beat the Red Sox 4-3. How crazy is the A's beating the Red Sox today? On any given day, anybody can beat anybody. We know that, right? Momentum is only as good as your next day's starting pitcher. But how rare was this win for this result from both sides, okay? As Bob Nightingale of USA Today tweeted out earlier today, the Boston Red Sox were the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Still are, right? They won 27 of 30 games. They were 27-3. Prior to today, the Red Sox had not lost back-to-back games since June 29th and July 1st. That's the last time they lost back-to-back games. Until today. Their opponent that beat them today, the A's, had not won back-to-back games since June 25th and 26th. So the Red Sox go a full month without losing back-to-back games, and the team that beat them, the A's, go a whole month without winning back-to-back games, and that's what happened here on Sunday. You know why? Because that's baseball, Susan. A's win 4-3 against the Red Sox. The first series win for the A's since June 12th through the 14th. So that was an interesting result. Braves in extra innings beat the Yankees 2-1. A couple of extra inning games earlier today in baseball. That was one of them, 10 innings. Braves beat the Yankees 2-1. They salvaged the finale of that three-game set. In 12 innings, the Phillies walk off against the Blue Jays 7-6 in a game that neither team wanted to win. Just bad baseball across both of these teams. And for the Blue Jays, the season's, what's the old, the Yogi saying, right? It's getting late early, okay? Toronto right now is 3.5 games out of the American League wild card, the third wild card. But there's so many teams above them. They're chasing the Mariners, Orioles, Guardians, Twins, Tigers, and Rangers, who currently hold the third wild card in the American League. If we look at the remaining schedule for the Toronto Blue Jays, they have middle of the road, 17th most difficult schedule remaining in baseball, but here's their series, okay? Three games against Tampa, six against the Yankees, and we'll see what version of the Yankees that is. Three against Tampa, six against the Yankees, four against Boston, three against Texas. So at least, okay, three games against one of the teams that you're chasing. They're not going to chase down the Yankees or the Rays, or the Red Sox, who are, you know, the AL East leaders and the first wild card and second wild card. And then they have their other opponents, three against the A's, six against the Royals, three against the Mariners, three against the Reds, six against the Orioles, and three against the Guardians. There's winnable games, but can they chase down that many teams ahead of them for a team that just doesn't play good baseball this year? They just don't. They have a terrible run differential. Right? What are they right now? They're like a negative 60 or something. What are the Blue Jays right now? Negative 59 on their run differential. Vlad Guerrero Jr., I guess, forgot how to play baseball. I mean, it's one of the, I mean, he's got seven home runs now. Okay. He's, you know, done a little bit better as he homered yesterday. But, I mean, what happened to Vlad? What happened? What happened to this entire team? This is not the same team that we saw last year. So I feel like, again, to repeat the quote, it's getting late early here for the Toronto Blue Jays. Other extra inning games from earlier today. Brewers, a walk-off victory, 4-3 over the Twins. Milwaukee was the heaviest favorite of the day today in Major League Baseball. Tigers got a 3-1 win in 10 innings over the Giants. And then some other finals from earlier today. Mets return the favor after getting blown out by the Pirates. They themselves have a blowout, 11-1 victory. The Marlins blow out the Angels 12-3. Cubs blow out the Royals 10-2. White Sox beat the Guardians 5-3. That game featured some weather delay. Cardinals beat the Rockies 7-4. Orioles doubled up the Rangers 10-5. Diamondbacks doubled up the Dodgers 4-2. So the Dodgers snapped their seven-game losing skid by getting a win yesterday against the Diamondbacks. Despite, by the way, despite Edwin Diaz blowing another save as the Diamondbacks scored in the bottom of the ninth to tie the game, the Dodgers got the win by scoring in the top of the 10th inning. So their issues are still unresolved, but they snapped their losing skid and then they just go right back to losing here as their offense continues to struggle. If you look at the Dodgers over the course of this, this nine-game stretch, if you will, right, the seven-game, seven straight losses, the win finally yesterday, and then the loss here today, they're averaging about 3 runs per game. Like, this is not the Dodgers. You could talk about getting Tarik Skubal, who's going to be on the mound Monday night, by the way. You could talk about, them ruining baseball because getting Tarik Skubal. You can't hit. If you don't hit, you're not going to win. This is the bottom line. So it's not, you know, you're thinking about, oh, they got the best pitcher now in the trade market and the Dodgers are not fair. This offense is just in a slump right now. They've lost 8 of 9, and look at the runs they've scored in these games. 4-2-4-1-3-1-2-2. They're not scoring right now. And so when you look at this game on Monday night, yes, Tarik Skubal's on the mound. Yes, he was decent in his first start for the Dodgers. 6 innings, 2 runs allowed. Dodgers still lost that game. LA is a minus 306 favorite against the Kansas City Royals. I get it. Kansas City stinks. But you want to lay $3 with a team that's averaging 3 runs a game over the last 9 games or so? That's the team you want to lay $3 with? You can get, by the way, plus money on the Royals plus a run and a half. How rare is that? Because of how heavily the Dodgers are favored. You can get plus a run and a half at plus money. Just out of curiosity this year, let's see. Minus 300 favorites this year in Major League Baseball are 9-6 on the money line straight up. Minus 300 favorites this year in Major League Baseball are 9-6. If you bet against those teams, you are up $586 this year. Just automatically fading minus 300 favorites this year in Major League Baseball. Last year, minus 300 favorites, 55-12. Last year, they were 55-12. This year, 9-6. More parity, less teams heavily favored, market corrections. A lot of reasons we could attribute to those trend numbers. I'm Scott Zadenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir, as we continue to sweat out Sunday night baseball between the Padres and the Astros, as Christian Javier has given up one earned run on the Jackson Merrill solo home run. We don't want him to give up anymore. We do have under 2.5. I'd like him to not give up any more runs or just get pulled from the game early. That helps too. Astros lead 2-1, bottom of the third inning. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, Scott Zadenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. We're keeping an eye on Sunday night baseball between the Houston Astros and the San Diego Padres. Houston with a 2-1 lead as we go to the fourth inning. We have right now the Astros up on DraftKings is minus 158 in the live line, live total of 8.5. San Diego closed minus 111, minus 115 at the highest spots, and the total did close at 9. So the total right around there with it being 8.5 right now, but the Astros with the 2-1 lead going to the top of the fourth are now a minus 158 favorite. Earlier today, the Wyndham Championship concluded with Michael Brennan, 24-year-old, winning the event. And by winning the event, he reaches the PGA Tour's postseason, the FedEx Cup playoffs, are set to begin. So congratulations to Michael Brennan, who reaches the FedEx Cup playoffs. He is eligible there. And he also qualified for next year's Masters. How about that? Also qualifying for the playoffs is youngster Jackson Koivin. Just 6 starts at the professional level. 21-year-old Jackson Koivin did good enough here at the Wyndham Championship that he finished, I guess he got one of the last spots in the FedEx Cup playoffs. So congratulations to Jackson Koivin. And here's a list, okay, with only 6 starts. It is the second fewest in any season by a golfer to appear in the FedEx Cup playoffs. The FedEx Cup playoffs started in 2007. Tiger Woods, the fewest starts in 2019. He had 5 starts, and he got to the FedEx Cup playoffs. Jackson Koivin with 6 starts here in 2026 makes the FedEx Cup playoffs. Does that mean we're betting this kid to win this thing? Let's take a look at some odds currently right now on the FedEx Cup. Let's see. We have Jackson Koivin to win the FedEx Cup. He's going to be a popular long shot bet. I mean, we have to go all the way down the list here. I don't even see. Is he even on here? 135-1. 135-1. Now, I'm not a golf guy, but I do understand that the format's not like it used to be, where like it was accumulation of points, like you have to win the last event or something like that. So not only do you have to perform well and then qualify for the next event, but then you have to qualify for the next event, and then you got to win like the last event there. But Scottie Scheffler plus 335 is your favorite. to win the FedEx Cup. Rory plus 820. Cam Young plus 1175. Your top three there. Jackson Koivun, 135-1. Okay. To win one event. So this is interesting. To win one event, Jackson Koivun plus 1950. Do you want to bet the kid to win one of the events at the FedEx Cup playoffs? Scottie Scheffler to win one event is minus 144. Well, it makes sense. He's the favorite to win the whole thing, so you think he would win the last event, right? But there you have it. FedEx Cup playoffs are set to begin. Congratulations to all of those who qualified, including 21-year-old Jackson Koivun. All right, quick inning it looks like here from the Astros. We'll get an update on what's going on Sunday night baseball as there's two outs here in the top of the fourth inning. Our guy Taylor Trammell is made the final out of the inning. It's okay because we've already cashed on Taylor Trammell to go over his 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. That means that our next bet, which is Christian Walker, will lead off the top of the fifth inning. So we are already cashed on Taylor Trammell. We're sweating out Jeremy Pena, who's 0-2. So we're going to need some help, Jeremy. And Christian Walker, 0-1. So he gets his next stab at it coming up in the top of the fifth inning. They go to the bottom of the fourth. Christian Javier, by the way, 52 pitches so far, 3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run on the Jackson Merrill solo home run. Still very upset that I didn't bet that. 2 strikeouts and 1 walk for Javier, who has had his season shortened due to injury. 6 innings his last start, 85 pitches. The start prior to that at the end of July, 5 innings, 70 pitches. So we're looking at kind of that range, that 85 pitch mark here for Javier. Maybe he gets stretched out even further. He's at 52 right now through 3 innings. Let's see how long it takes him to get through the fourth. I think he finishes 5 innings, and hopefully he doesn't allow any more earned runs. I mean, we can afford 1, but no more than that, as we have the under 2.5 earned runs here for Christian Javier going to the bottom of the fourth inning in San Diego. Live line updating you right now. It is Astros minus 126, so it went down a bit. Live total is at 7.5. A lot of great football conversation here on the program. We're coming up next. Michael Fiddle will join us. Not only are we going to get some WNBA plays from Michael Fiddle, but I want to ask him about a football future, as he wrote a great piece for Yahoo talking about some of his favorite futures bets in the NFL. I talked a lot about preseason football and preseason snaps for quarterbacks, because as the preseason is going to get underway starting this Thursday, we had the Hall of Fame game last Thursday, but this Thursday, week one of the preseason, the big story, and we talked earlier in the program, if you missed it, check out the podcast, VSiN Watch app, all that fun stuff. Jesse Newell, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for The Athletic, we talked about Andy Reid's comments about Patrick Mahomes' availability in the preseason. Mahomes, and this is something that kind of unlike Andy Reid to just say like things out in the open, because he's usually a guy that does keep things close to the vest. But he said Mahomes is not going to play in the first preseason game, and he's probably not going to play in the entire preseason. Okay, then. What do we do with that information? Here's what we do, and I did. We're going to bet the Broncos in week number 1. And we're going to find other ways to fade the Kansas City Chiefs in week number 1. Why? Because, first off, if there's one game in the entire season that Patrick Mahomes is going to be vulnerable and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be vulnerable, it's going to be week number 1, his first week back from injury. Mahomes had his surgery in December of last year. This is a very fast return from the ACL-LCL repair. Normally, it takes like 9-10 months. He's coming back in like 7, right? This is a very quick return for Patrick Mahomes. If there's one week, and if you ask any team in the NFL, hey, you got to play Mahomes and the Chiefs, when do you want to play them? And forget about like looking at the schedule and looking at bye weeks and travel spots. If I just said, you forget about bye weeks, travel spots, just pick one week, 1 through 17, 1 through 18, when do you want to play the Kansas City Chiefs? Everyone would say week 1. Because that's the moment where we don't know how healthy Patrick Mahomes is. Where we don't know how close to 100% Patrick Mahomes is. Now we throw on the fact that he's not going to play in the preseason. And why is that important? Well, I tracked the data. That's what I do. Since the start of the 2021 season, I looked at quarterbacks that did not play in the NFL preseason. And this is what I found. They all underperform in week number one. Either they underperform individually or their teams underperform. Of the quarterbacks that did not take any dropbacks during the preseason, from 2021 to 2024, in week number one, those teams have a negative ATS margin of about 2.5 points. Their team totals go under by about 3 points. The totals of the games go under by about 4 points. The first halves, their ATS margin, almost negative two. The first half team total, almost negative two. And the first half totals, about 1.5 points negative. Zero preseason dropbacks on average, and it's about 40 somewhat quarterbacks we've seen since 2021 to last year. Their teams underperform in week number one. If Patrick Mahomes, and this is that's we're just talking about like healthy quarterbacks too. Like we got a guy coming back from injury that hasn't really tested it. And Mahomes himself says that he wants to play. He wants to get hit. You got to get hit. There's a difference between being in shape and being in football shape. You got to get hit. You got to feel it. And if Mahomes is not going to play at all this preseason, then we absolutely want to fade the Kansas City Chiefs in week number one. Whether that means we're taking the Broncos plus the points right now, plus three, you can get a 3.5, the more power to you. Or if we're just fading the Chiefs on their team total, betting the game to go under, on the first half to go under, multiple ways to fade the Chiefs if Patrick Mahomes does not play at all here in the preseason. I'm going to pay close attention, and you should too, to all these quarterbacks to see who plays and who doesn't here in the NFL preseason. Look, with football back, some of the best betting opportunities of the year start during the NFL preseason. You can sign up for VSiN Pro today and get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You'll also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new baseball player prop and totals picks, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN.
Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Sadenberg here on VSiN, the sports betting network, monitoring the action in San Diego. Sunday night baseball between the Astros and the Padres. Christian Javier in a little bit of a jam right now. Runners on first and second with two outs. Fernando Tatis is up, and we are sweating this because not only are we on the Astros on the money line, but we have Christian Javier to go under 2.5 earned runs allowed. He obviously has allowed one earned run on the Jackson Merrill solo home run. But let's see if he can get out of this jam here. There is two outs, and we have a two and one count, on Fernando Tatis. And it looks like we have just lost our bet as Tatis is about to go Yahtzee. The sportsbook's always ahead of the TV, by the way. 4-2. Padres lead the Astros. Do you know how bad it is? It's bad losing a bet. It's also bad losing a bet when the guy that beats you has done absolutely nothing this season and is having one of the worst seasons of his career. But Fernando Tatis just silenced the haters by going deep here, something that we haven't seen a lot this season. That's all right. Let's see if the Astros can come back and get a W for us. Speaking of W's, the WNBA season is getting closer to the postseason. We have teams clinching already, futures bets galore. Each and every night, this league just gets more and more interesting, to say the least. Joining us right now in the Progressive Guest Line to talk some WNBA and maybe a bet for week one in the NFL as well is Michael Fiddle, contributor to the Action Network, as well as Yahoo Sports. You check out his podcast, and he's on Twitter at Fiddle's Picks. Fiddle, I know you didn't bet the Padres or Astros tonight, but I mean, I'm a little bitter by this loss, but it's okay. Maybe, you know, you can comfort me with some CLV wins in the WNBA. One thing I wanted to ask you, with all the nonsense going on in this league right now, and it seems like they're in the headlines for all the wrong reasons, I know you got to shut out the noise and just stick to your numbers and your handicap what the data that you have, but does any of this drama affect your handicapping? You know, players getting ejected and then tweeting from the locker room, then Caitlin Clark's technical getting rescinded. Like, does any of this affect your handicapping at all in the WNBA?
A little bit. First off, I'll join you in the bad beat rejoicing and comforting. I just had Golden State Valkyries right before we were jumping on. -6.5. They're up 19 in the fourth quarter, and they blow it. They lose by 6, and I get hooked. So I'm feeling the pain with you right now. Wow. As well. This absolutely sucks. But I will speak to what you're saying. In terms of the Caitlin Clark getting a technical foul rescinded, yeah, it was her 8th technical foul. So technically, she's going to be suspended if that technical foul's not rescinded. So you're trying to factor in, okay, what is Caitlin Clark worth to the spread? How can we factor in, is the next game of odds up there? The player that got ejected for, you know, going up and taking down Sophie Cunningham, Dejanay Carrington, and then tweeting from the locker room, she's on the Chicago Sky, and they already had their next game against the Seattle Storm already priced. So now you're trying to wonder, how much is Dejanay Carrington worth to this Chicago Sky team? What is the percent probability that she's going to be suspended? Is that worth it enough in terms of your probabilistic modeling to say, okay, I should make a move on this now early in case that she is suspended and the line moves towards Seattle? Ultimately, I have not made any actionable moves based on either of those two, but I do think you have to start weighting those into your decision-making. And in general, like, what's going on with the league right now? Less so all the drama that's happening, but the Team USA FIBA roster was just announced. And I do think, you know, how are these teams going to handle the minutes for the FIBA players is a big thing that I'm going to be looking at moving forward. We just saw the Las Vegas Aces sit Asia Wilson, Jackie Young, and Chelsea Gray today against the New York Liberty. Those are 3 players on the Team USA team. So that with that happening, you know, less than a month away, and the Aces being on the second night of a back-to-back, it's like, where can we find more spots like that where a Team USA player might be on the second leg of a back-to-back or going to be in a really bad travel spot, and the team decide to rest them and hold them out so they stay healthy for the international competition?
That is a really great aspect that we have to pay attention to as we get into September and the FIBA tournament there for the Team USA and the women that will be leaving their WNBA teams. Tomorrow we have 2 games on the schedule. Atlanta 12.5-point favorites against the Tempo, and then you have the Storm 1.5-point home favorites against the Sky. You mentioned the whole situation here with the Sky. We know totals have been, you know, on an incredible overrun. We saw that there was a great stretch of overs in the WNBA. We're seeing totals in these games tomorrow night: 186.5 in the Tempo Dream game, 180.5 in the Sky Storm game. Any lean towards the totals in those 2 games tomorrow night?
Yeah, I like the over on both of them. The one I would action right away is the Toronto Tempo at Atlanta Dream over. 186.5 is best in market. That's starting to get pricey, but there are some, you know, -105s out there in the market. I do think that you could take that. Marina Mabry, who's obviously the offensive hub of the Toronto Tempo, is probable. She's been listed probable, but playing the last few games, this has taken a lot of steam. We're even seeing a 188.5 show up in the market. The exchanges, we're seeing 186.5 take on incredibly high vig. You know, you generally go to the betting exchanges to get lower vig, and if it's being shaded really heavily one direction, probably has a little more room to run on the number in terms of moving up a little bit. And then the Chicago Sky at the Seattle Storm, I do like the over in that one as well. I am just waiting on the Dejanay Carrington news because she is such a fast break and pace up player. That ultimately the number is going to drop if she is suspended. I don't think she'll be suspended. I do think, you know, being ejected for the rest of that game is kind of the suspension of one game that she would have gotten if it happened late in the fourth quarter. It's different with it being in the first half. I would be looking towards the over in that one as well, and probably waiting on news and then playing that, you know, anywhere up to 182.5.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And we've seen that in WNBA, NBA. We've seen that where the suspension, you know, is early on in the game, kind of serves, or the ejection is early on and kind of serves as the suspension. Talking to Michael Fiddle on Twitter at Fiddle's Picks. He's a contributor for the Action Network and Yahoo Sports. Also has an incredible website as well, the master of CLV, as we know him as, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN. Speaking of your work with Yahoo, Fiddle, you wrote a great piece on your NFL futures and best bets for week number one of the NFL season. So let's get one. How about a best bet for week one of the NFL season and why you are on this team so early?
So I'm going to take the Atlanta Falcons +3 at the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you do a power ratings, if you do a market ratings for these teams, you'll probably get somewhere between like a 2.7 and a 2.9. So slight value on the Falcons plus, call it 2.75. And we know the 3 in the NFL is the most important number. Tip to remember for everyone for the rest of the season, it is worth 19 cents to move on to and off of the 3. So if you even have a slight edge, give or take, to 3, you should play it. If I had, you know, half a point of edge in an NFL game or in a NBA game at a random number, I would not play it. But respective to the +/-3, you absolutely should. And then you get into kind of the manual adjustments for this game, Scott. And I think something that's being incredibly overlooked is that the Falcons' new head coach is Kevin Stefanski. And Kevin Stefanski just spent 6 years in a 10-year being the Cleveland Browns head coach, where he game planned against the Steelers twice every single season, right? And then you look at who's the Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator? It's a man named Jeff Ulbrich. And Ulbrich was Rodgers' head coach with the New York Jets after he returned from the Achilles injury and they fired Robert Saleh. And so there's a lot of familiarity with the Atlanta Falcons staff forecasting on to both the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers specifically. So because of those two reasons, you get into this, you know, coaching philosophy and some manual adjusting towards the Atlanta Falcons that it's pretty hard to quantify, but I'd say it's probably worth another half a point. And so now I'm pricing this game closer to 2.25 on the Falcons, and respective to the 3, it's a no-brainer edge to play. So give me the Falcons +3 on the road week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I love it. Browns and the Steelers, by the way, split last year. So 1-1. Both games went under, if you're interested. So maybe Stefanski and under here. I'm curious what we see from the Steelers this year, obviously with McCarthy in the first year post Tomlin, right? You know, Tomlin never had a losing season, by the way, Fiddle. So I'm very curious.
I've never heard that. Is that true?
Very curious.
I've never heard that.
From the Pittsburgh Steelers and Aaron Rodgers in his swan song. But I'm with you. We will be fading them in week number one of the NFL season. Michael, appreciate the time and the insight. As always, good luck with your bets, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, Scott. Take care.
There he is, Michael Fiddle on the Atlanta Falcons in week number one of the NFL season, catching 3 at the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's our second week one bet that we've given out here on the show. We're taking points with dogs. We got +3 on the Falcons now. We've already given out +3 on the Denver Broncos in week number one, but that's contingent. Like, you can play it now and then maybe, you know, buy off of it if, in fact, Mahomes does play in the preseason and we have a different outlook on them. But with Andy Reid telling us Mahomes is not going to play in the preseason, we're going to believe him. And we know that preseason snaps are important for quarterbacks, and they all underperform in week number one when they don't play. So we're going to take the 3 with the Denver Broncos, and we're going to back fiddle and take the 3 with the Atlanta Falcons against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We'll update you on what's going on Sunday night baseball from San Diego. Padres get a big boom from Fernando Tatis Jr. as they now have a 4-2 lead over the Houston Astros. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSIN.
Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. So our same game parlay sprinkle is donezo, as Christian Javier is tagged for four runs thanks to a two-out, two-run home run by, of all people, Fernando Tatis Jr., who is just, you know, he's had a terrible year. The power numbers significantly down, but he hits the two-out, two-run, or no, three-run home run. Yeah, two-out, three-run home run. And tell me it was on two strikes as well. No, it wasn't. Makes me feel a little bit better. But he homers, so it is a 4-2 lead for the San Diego Padres here in the bottom of the fifth inning. We do have the Houston Astros on the money line in addition to our little same-game parlay sprinkle, which is now dead. But speaking of our same-game parlay sprinkle, we did cash. You know, one of the legs was Taylor Trammell over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. That has cashed. Christian Walker is the 0-for-2. Jeremy Pena is 0-for-2 as well. And obviously Javier does not get us to the under on his earned runs. Randy Vasquez, meanwhile, for the Padres, five innings, two runs on two hits, one strikeout, and one home run. That was the Dalton Varsho two-run home run. And we have major betting FOMO for not taking the Jackson Merrill home run, but we did give that out here on the show. So for anybody that did tail that bet and play it, congratulations. I know some of the people that tweeted me, they did play it. So congratulations, about plus 494 on the Jackson Merrill anytime home run. At least that's what the odds were on DraftKings when we looked. So congratulations to anybody who did cash that. Our most likely home run hitters in this game were Trammell and Jackson Merrill. So Merrill already with the homer, and Trammell does have a hit. So maybe he homers as well, and maybe we would have hit both of those guys. And could you imagine that home run parlay? I don't even want to think about it, because then just way too much. Betting FOMO. We did a lot of football talk here on the program. Want to remind you guys, with football being back, you can take advantage of all the great betting opportunities here during the NFL preseason. Sign up and become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with all the team previews, the best bets from all the VSiN analysts, hosts, sharpest minds. You'll also, by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber, get the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, the prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can start today for just $9.99 or get a full year. Save 50%. With a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Just go to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Wanted to take a look at tomorrow's Major League Baseball schedule. We do have a potential Sunday night fade. That's right. Because both the Astros and Padres are in action here on Monday night. For the Padres, they stay home. They welcome in the Milwaukee Brewers. Right now, Casey Mize is scheduled to go for San Diego. Logan Henderson going for the Milwaukee Brewers. And right now, looking at the early line in this one, Milwaukee a -112 road favorite. As for the Astros, they will be on the road. So this would be the true Sunday night fade, fading that team that has to play on Sunday night and then travel. They go up the coast to take on the Giants in San Francisco. Hayden Wisniewski is on the mound for the Astros. And going for the Giants is Blade Tidwell. Incredible name. And the line, early line on this one, is Houston -156. So maybe it's a plus money price fade, fading the Houston Astros with the Sunday night travel spot. Other games on your schedule here on Monday, the red hot Red Sox, despite losing two straight to the A's, are in a bounce-back spot in Toronto against the Blue Jays. Sonny Gray on the mound for the Red Sox. Jameson Taillon goes for Toronto. Boston -164. Sonny Gray has been incredible this year. He is going to garner Cy Young attention in the American League. Does he have enough to, you know, to supersede, I should say, Cam Schlittler and steal the award? Maybe, because, you know, you're thinking about, well, look at the season that he's had and the Red Sox with the resurgence. If you think that's the case, he's 35-1 right now. I don't think so. I think it's more likely it's going to be a Cam Schlittler, maybe Dylan Cease. Cease has had an incredible run of, you know, going deep into ball games and things like that. So Sonny Gray's had a great year, but it's not always about the win-loss record. He's got the win-loss record at 14-2, ERA at 2.78. But there's a lot more that goes in, all the underlying metrics and whatnot. But it's Red Sox or pass for me in this one. I'd get creative, find a way to play the Red Sox. Maybe it's on the run line. Maybe it's laying a half run in the first five. But I would back the Red Sox in a bounce back spot there in Toronto, especially because the Blue Jays just played a couple of extra inning games. They used a lot of bullpen arms in Philadelphia. So maybe that's another reason why we like the Red Sox in this game and maybe feel comfortable laying the run and a half. Mets are at the Braves. Going for the Braves is Bryce Elder. They're minus 157 favorites. Christian Scott gets the start for the New York Mets. Orioles are at the Twins, and Dean Kramer goes for the Twins, former Baltimore Oriole. Trevor Rogers will counter for Baltimore. Right now, O's minus 112 road favorites. Phillies are at the Cardinals. Kind of same reason I don't mind fading Toronto after the multiple extra inning games. I feel that way about the Phillies. Andrew Painter will get the start for them going in St. Louis against the Cardinals and Hunter Dobbins. Right now, Philly minus 112 favorite. Again, don't hate fading them because the bullpen usage and coming off the fatigue factor, back-to-back extra inning games. Mackenzie Gore starts for the Rangers in L.A. Or Anaheim against the Angels and Reed Detmers. Texas minus 123. You got the Rockies at the Diamondbacks. Michael Soroka on the mound for the Diamondbacks. Gabriel Hughes pitches for Colorado. Rays are at the A's. Little travel just down the Pacific Coast for the Rays, who are up in Seattle, now down in Sacramento, as Freddie Peralta gets the start for the Rays, and Jacob Lopez will go for the A's. Again, the A's winning back-to-back games for the first time in over a month as they took the final two games of the set with the Red Sox. Rays right now minus 162. And then the Royals are at the Dodgers. Noah Cameron goes for KC. Tarik Skubal goes for the Dodgers. LA has lost eight of their last nine games. They are minus 306 favorites. Minus 306. Losers of eight of nine. And it's not that they're just losing these games. They're not scoring any runs. The month of August has not been good to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And now you want to lay $3 on this team? I gave you the numbers earlier. This season, teams that are minus 300 or greater favorites are only 9-6 straight up. You are down money backing those teams. You are up over $500, almost $600 betting against those teams. I'm not saying it's an automatic fade here of the Dodgers. I'm saying I can't trust them right now. And I don't know how anybody could trust them right now. Again, you look at this stretch, and it's not like, oh, they're playing such bad baseball. They're making mistakes in the field, and the pitching has been letting them down. No, they can't hit. Two runs here against the Diamondbacks. Two, and they needed the extra inning to get the second run against the Diamondbacks yesterday. Three on Friday. Okay, you scored a couple of runs in some windy games in Wrigley, six runs and five runs. You lost both of those games. One run against the Cubs, four against the Red Sox, two against the Red Sox, four against the Red Sox, two against the, four against the Mariners. That was a win before the losing skid, right? They're in a slump right now. I would not lay minus $300 with a team that is slumping like the Dodgers. Yes, it's Tarik Skubal, and he threw six solid innings in his first start for the Dodgers, but I would find another way to bet this game or fade, you know, maybe bet the under. Maybe that's the way you bet this game. Maybe the under is the better play. Total in this game between the Dodgers and the Royals is 7.5. And maybe it's an under because we know the Dodgers offense is only scoring about three runs per game in the last nine games or so. And we expect Tarik Skubal to pitch well against the Royals team that just stinks also. So maybe it's the under and that's the safer play. And just don't even run the risk of, don't lay the juice or bet the run line or try and get creative and fade automatically. Maybe it's just an underplay. A first five under, a full game under, that's going to be the way that we probably have to handle tomorrow night between the Dodgers and the Kansas City Royals. Don't forget, coming up next, Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson returns. The long-awaited return of Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson. He'll take you through everything that happened today in Major League Baseball, obviously gearing up towards week one of the NFL preseason, which kicks off on Thursday. And so it's going to be great. All the great guests that Dustin has, previewing football, talking baseball, college football as well. Tomorrow morning, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis will kick off your morning with VSiN by the Books. I'm sure they will be talking about baseball and previewing that Tarik Skubal second start for the Dodgers. At 10 a.m., Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin come your way with a numbers game. It's all coming up right here next on VSiN. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, as we will continue to monitor our Sunday night sweats. Padres with the 4-2 lead over the Houston Astros as we head to the bottom of the sixth inning. Your live line right now out of control. Let's talk about the run line. Padres minus 2.5 on the run line, plus 118. Total in the game is 8.5. Remember, this game closed with a total of 9. Total right now is 8.5 minus 121 to the over, with the Padres having that 4-2 lead. And yes, Mason Miller is looming. So keep that into consideration if you want to place any live bets. Once again, cashing out with Dustin Sweetelson comes your way next. I'm Scott Seidenberg right here with you. Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.